On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A bit of a roadmap. We look at a bill that would put the UW system in the driver's seat for negotiating the tuition reciprocity agreement with Minnesota. Also in the queue, campus speech, setting rules and punishing colleges that violate free speech and academic freedom rules. But we start with the news of the UW Board of Regents selecting the next president of the UW system. How do you feel about the new system leader, a CEO of a Milwaukee law firm? As for speech on campus, do you think the First Amendment is adequate, or should there be extra protections through new legislation? What does academic freedom mean to you? 800-642-1234. Dave Murphy is a Republican state representative from Greenville, chairs the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. Representative Murphy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, kid.
Well, good morning. Let's start with CEO Jay Rothman, incoming UW system president. What are you looking for in a UW system president?
Well, this is a very large organization with it has the most employees of any agency within our state government. So somebody who has the ability to run that kind of large organization, to be able to lead it forward is, I think, the most important thing. Mr. Rothman has led a large organization, an international law firm. So I guess I'm optimistic about his abilities to pull this off. Of course, he doesn't have academic background that we might want to see, but I'm cautiously optimistic at this point, I guess I would say.
Let me ask you this. Are there things you saw interim system president Tommy Thompson do or say that you would like to see out of Rothman in terms of how Thompson engaged you, engaged other lawmakers?
Well, Tommy Thompson's bigger than life. his presence, his gravitas. He's an extremely intelligent person, and I don't think I don't know if the public during his time as governor saw just his intelligence and his expertise, because he has that sort of persona, you know, the let's go Packers kind of thing he always used during some of his speeches. And so when you really get to know him, his depth and breadth of knowledge is so impressive. There are very few Tommy Thompsons around the state of Wisconsin. Maybe there aren't any. And so, I mean, it's just a real tough act to follow for Mr. Rothman.
It sounds like you're almost saying, I hope he's a quick study.
Well, certainly so. I think he will have to be a quick study because, he's coming from the private sector, the legal world, and he's going to have to learn how to fit in to the academic system very quickly. I think dealing with a bunch of lawyers may be something that will help guide him and train him towards where he needs to be on that. So
we'll be watching. Let me reintroduce you. Dave Murphy is here, Republican state representative from Greenville, served in the assembly for almost a decade. As we look at higher ed issues in the state, you can join in 800-642-1234. Perhaps you're a college student or have one in your household. What are some of the pressing issues? What legislation are you watching? Let's look at speech. You helped author a bill that aims to penalize colleges and universities for violating free speech and academic freedom rules. Why do you support this measure?
So over the years, we've had a number of incidences that have happened on UW campuses. We've had more incidences happen around the country. it always seems like whatever happens on the coast ends up coming to the Midwest at some point. I was involved in an incident that happened with a young lady at the Northwest Technical College, in which she was stopped by security there for handing out Valentines on Valentine's Day that said things like "You are loved," or "Jesus loves you," or "God bless you," or that sort of thing. That case went to court, and she did win. In that particular situation, I think she won. The settlement was for $1. Under our bill, students would be able to sue for their free speech rights and be able to win at least a small amount of money. I think the bigger thing, Kate, was that the bill, if a campus is found to be in violation of free speech laws for a period of 10 years, they would have to tell students that they were recruiting to their campuses that they had violated free speech rights. I don't think any campus, that's a punishment that doesn't cost any money up front, but it's the kind of thing that no campus is ever going to want to have to tell the students that they're recruiting.
Well, what about the history here? The Board of Regents approved a free speech policy in October 2017. Students can be suspended if they're disrupting someone else's free speech 3 times and you're out, expelled. Why do you think is a law necessary on top of a policy by the Board of Regents that already exists?
So Region Policy 4-21 is what you're referring to.
Yes.
And so my understanding is that piece has not been fully implemented, has not been, has not been used in which the way it was intended to. There's supposed to be a monitoring system to this whole process, and that's really never been done.
And so you're saying that the policy they have in place isn't fully realized right now. You don't see suspensions or students being expelled under the policy, that it's not exactly working as it should?
No, and I would just walk back a little bit and say, our policy is not meant to suspend students. And I think if you look at the free speech bill that we have out there right now, it's quite different from past iterations of this legislation, in which is not centered as so much around students, but it looks at both students and faculty and the institution, because there are students that are being, whose free speech rights are being violated. We're trying to protect students. We're trying to protect faculty because there are faculty members who are having their free speech rights violated. For instance, there are professors that have to take online exams on diversity, for instance, in which the only way that they can get through the test is to answer every question correctly and they answer the question exactly as the university wants them to. Well, that doesn't sound like a test to me, Kate. That sounds like indoctrination.
Do you think Governor Evers has changed his position, changed his mind on this issue? He didn't support what the Regents adopted on that free speech policy in 2017.
Well, I'm not so sure it's important whether Governor Evers has changed his mind or not. I think it's important whether his staff has changed their mind or not. Because in a lot of my dealings with the governor, sometimes the governor will tell you one thing and then after he talks to his staff, it becomes different.
We have Representative Dave Murphy of Greenville chairs the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities as we look at issues facing higher ed in our state. Are you a Minnesota resident attending college in Wisconsin or vice versa? What do you think of tuition reciprocity? Should the UW Board of Regents get more authority to invest its money? College students, how are you affording the cost? What do you want to tell the legislature? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Representative Dave Murphy here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about higher ed issues before lawmakers with the chair of the Assembly's Committee on Colleges and Universities. This is a 15-member body. It's met twice this month for public hearings and executive sessions. As spring semester is upon us, how do you think colleges and universities should respond to the spike in COVID cases? How do you feel about COVID vaccinations, masking, testing requirements on your college campus? What do you want to tell lawmakers? Join in 800-642-1234. Republican Representative Dave Murphy is with us for about nine more minutes. Let's bring on a caller regarding speech. Kathy is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind?
I was just calling to say that the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled on this, that within schools, be it the public or UW system, that the free speech does not trump the education in the environment that's set up. And also, I would like to ask him how he feels about masks on campus, because I've had a Republican leader in the Wisconsin GOP tell me before that mask mandates were only because Democrats in the state wanted to stay home from work and did not want to work. So I wanted to know how he felt about masks on campus. And I will take.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Kathy. And Representative Murphy, the first one was about the Supreme Court and the second there on masking. Go ahead.
So free speech legislation does not go into the classroom in that professors have the right to manage their class appropriately. So that's really not what we're trying to do. A lot of the free speech issues have to do with opening up as much of the campus as possible, mainly everything outside of the classroom, to say that they're free and open places. There are no free speech zones on campus, for instance, in which you can say, well, if you want to go say what you want, you have to go to this particular area of the campus or whatever. Anything that really is outside of the classroom pretty much then becomes open for free dialogue. You know, of course, at the University of Wisconsin, I mean, you know, one of their mottos is about sifting and winnowing to determine the truth. Well, you know, if you want to sift and winnow, you're going to have to let people, you know, do that. You're going to have to let people engage and talk through these issues. You know, a while back, I was really disappointed. Senator Ted Cruz was going to be on the UW campus, him and one other person to do a podcast. And at the last minute, had to be moved off in campus because they wouldn't do their podcast with masks on. Now, this was two people in the middle of a room with an audience that was, you know, 20 or 30 feet away from them. And, you know, there was really no good reason for them to have a mask on, but the university pushed them off campus. I thought that was very unfortunate, and I thought it was not the right thing to do.
Which segues to Kathy's second question regarding masking. Your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I haven't spoken out at all about the masking issue. I'm kind of a moderate, I guess, when it comes to this whole issue. I am vaccinated. I'm skeptical about how well masks are protecting people. As we go around the world, as we go around our country, different states have different masking requirements. They have different, different vaccine requirements even. And interestingly, it seems like there's very little difference from one state to another, from one country to another. And it really makes me feel that, you know, many of the things that we think are correct about how we manage COVID probably aren't, and that we just need to keep looking at this and coming up with the best ideas that work. And I don't think we're not there yet.
Circling back to legislation then, your committee is considering a bill that would refund tuition to students at public colleges that require a COVID vaccine or that bar students from participating in a program due to their unvaccinated status. Can you explain this bill and what's behind it?
So, in my experience and from what I know, most of the campuses have been pretty good about doing that. There are some people that have come and talked to us and said that, you know, they had to work on the campus a little bit to get their money back or whatever. But I think in general, this is a law that just codifies something that I think has been going on for the most part on its own. It doesn't go back. So in other words, if you're a junior in college and you couldn't do the last semester because of COVID, you would get that semester's money back, but you wouldn't get anything back for any previous schooling that you had.
Do you think that you need a law to do this if you see colleges and universities already doing this for their students?
You know, Kate, that was a fairly close call. And I think the reason for the law is just to make that process simpler and that there's no question about whether they will get it or not. I guess it makes it just more seamless.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dave Murphy, who is a state representative from Greenville, chairs the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. We're looking at issues facing higher ed this hour. Let's look for a moment here at reciprocity. One bipartisan bill in the Assembly would allow the system to take over tuition reciprocity negotiations with Minnesota. And under current law, this is routed through Wisconsin's Higher Educational Aids Board. Can you explain what shift this bill would happen under this bill?
Well, you know, the tuitions that Wisconsin students pay if they go to Minnesota are higher Minnesota rates. If the students come to Wisconsin here, the Minnesota students are charged what they would be charged back home. And the difference between our lower tuition and the Minnesota tuition is not going to the university. And actually Minnesota's getting some of that money back. And then the other portion of it ends up going into the general fund.
State budget.
Yeah. And so I just felt like if Minnesota students are coming here and they're paying a Minnesota in-state tuition rate, we should be keeping all of that money. And I don't have a problem with that money staying within the system.
You don't have that problem with millions of dollars then staying within the UW system and not going to the state's general fund?
That's correct. And so that would be a boost to the university, I believe around $16 million a year.
All right. Well, we're going to come for a full circle here with Becky in Hustisford, who would like to talk with you about wearing a mask and free speech issues. Go ahead, Becky.
Hello, and thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to ask the representative if he would clarify what he was saying. I was a bit confused as to whether he was talking about the wearing of masks as a free speech issue or whether he was addressing that as a health protocol, and whether his objections or his concerns over requirements for wearing masks extended to, say, the medical facilities, say,
and Becky,
DW Health.
We have to cut it there because we have only 20 seconds to answer. Go ahead, Representative.
So I was talking about masks from a medical standpoint, but I suppose in some situations you might be able to look at it from a free speech standpoint. One of my issues with masks is I don't think people really know how to wear them very well. In a medical situation, generally a doctor or nurse puts on a mask, they wear it for about 20 minutes and they throw it away. We put masks in our pocket, we take them on and off. We touch them constantly.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Representative Dave Murphy on the Ideas Network.